Well, again, I hope you're encouraged by those great readings from God's Word. For those on live stream or those who don't know here, my name's Rick. I'm one of the pastors here. We've begun a series at the beginning of this year that is looking at the Christian faith as being the best or the most rational thing to explain what we observe in the world. I've called the series A Reasonable Faith, not because they're words I've thought up, but because, well, I just pinched them off someone else. We're looking at questions. The questions we're going to be looking at are published in the newsletter. The ones that we have looked at will be on the website after we've looked at them. And each week, my aim is not to cover all that can be said on these questions, but really just to whet your appetite so that you might look for answers. Last week, we looked at what evidence is there that the God of the Bible is real. Now, we only scratch the surface. Again, can I encourage you, if you want to know more, you can Google questions, answers to those questions, but when you Google stuff, you get whatever Google throws at you. If you want some helpful direction in what to read or look for, have a yarn to us. Today, the question we're looking at is this: is there anything wrong with our world? We could deal with the answer to that one in about 2 seconds. The answer is yes, let's go home. Watch the news tonight for 10 minutes if you want to, but it won't tell you say anything more than what you already know. The world is broken, and the people in the world are broken. The news is often biased, though, isn't it? It doesn't tell the full story. It's all packaged to sell advertising space to make money. There's an awful lot they can report on. They can pick and choose what they like. Natural disasters, economic disasters, political disasters, environmental disasters, relational disasters. Probably not from anyone here. We're not famous enough for anyone to care, but probably for those that are famous that we all think we should know about. The world that we live in is broken at every level. Is there anything wrong with the world we live in? Is that way it's made to be? I don't know about you, but I don't feel that what we live in is the way it's made to be. In fact, even as I look at what's reported in our news, it seems to be that they package the news telling us there could be something better or there should be something better. What's wrong with our news? Well, nothing really, but it only gives us a little sample of what's reality in our world. Today, there are huge levels of people who will die because of a lack of food. My gut feeling is very, very little of that will be in tonight's news. And at the same time, there's a huge number of people today who will die because they've had too much food. Probably on the news tonight, there'll be war stuff, selective parts of war stuff. War is killing thousands of people, isn't it? War is killing thousands of innocent people. People through who no fault of their own will be dead by tonight because of their leaders want to exploit power or control. Or maybe they've just been brought up to hate another group of people and that's all that they have ever known. And so lives are going to be turned upside down because the world we live in is broken at every level. And the war that we watch on the night's nightly news will highlight another problem with us. Our own values are really turned upside down as a society because you and I are rightly upset and saddened by the number of babies that will be dead tonight because of war. But we're not upset and saddened, or we don't express the same level of concern for the number of babies that will be dead because mum and dad didn't want them, an unwanted pregnancy. You see, the culture that we live in has got confused value systems. We are pro-choice when it comes to some things and not pro-choice when it comes to other things. We are selfish as a society and our values are contradictory. We're exposing what's wrong with the world. I hope you're not too depressed yet. Let's look at the environment. Well, it wasn't all that long ago that misguided Christians were trying to pick the date of the end of the world. But now it's environmentalists. We are at, was it? A couple of seconds to midnight. it's all going to be over very soon. And I could keep going. I decided not to put pictures in because we have kids in the service. It'd be depressing. It would not be family friendly. Don't bother coming this evening. We don't have the 18 plus version tonight. But you get the idea, don't you? The world we live in is very broken at a global level. Can I suggest at a personal level, at a relational level? In an article that I read that listed what is wrong with the world, it listed these five things. Wealth inequality is the one thing. Famine, homelessness, disease and war. That's not a bad list, is it? Another list. Oh, sorry, that author of that list said, this is my personal opinions that affect that, because I'm sure if you lived in a different context to this particular author, you'd have a different list. Another list said this: selfishness, greed, power, systemic injustice, environmental degradation. Another good list. But what would you put in the lists? What would you like to include that is wrong with our world? It's not just the things in the news, is it? It's the things in my life and your life, our families' lives, our culture's lives, our immediate vicinity of where we live's lives. Our world is filled with things going wrong. What are the solutions? I don't think we are any different to anyone else with that worldview. What are the solutions that we propose? Well, I guess it depends which one you've picked on, that what needs to be done to fix it might be very different depending on the problem. The list of solutions is endless to the problems that are there. Many years ago, I was teaching scripture, which is like a scripture in the schools, not a thing that's been in Adelaide for at least a generation or so. But I was in New South Wales, and in one school I was teaching, it was the first time that scripture had been taught in this school. And the school was short of room, so I got the privilege of having the teacher's staff room to teach scripture in. And one of the teachers made sure he was there. He was an atheist. But he loved the idea of me teaching scripture in schools. It was a tough area of Sydney. And he thought good manners, good education, good morality, and good knowledge would help society. He was happy for me to teach scripture. He thought I was just providing good morality. The solutions that we try and bring to each particular problem, in reality, just expose a deeper level of problems. So we want to fix a problem in society. Let's pick out of one of the lists before, the list on homelessness. How are we going to fix the problem of homelessness in our culture, in our community, in our immediate vicinity? Let's expose what we're really like on the inside by asking some questions. You see, when we're going to fix a problem like homelessness, we all at least need to be on the similar page. Whose plan do you think we should follow? Mine or yours or the person next to you or the one down the road? We've all got different plans to fix the problem of homelessness because we've all got different views of what we think it is. Who's going to pay for the solution? How much do you think we should put in as individuals or as a culture? How long do you reckon we should try and fix the problem for? Or should we not bother because it's not ours, our problem? What sort of buy-in should we expect from the people we're seeking to help? We're only picked on the simple problem of homelessness, but all homelessness is not simple. And all homelessness doesn't come from the same problems or the same cause. We're going to need lots of different solutions to fix the problem, aren't we? It seems rather simplistic to say that we're just going to fix the problem of homelessness, because as we seek to fix it, just this bunch of people here, what we quickly find out is that we've got other issues. It could be power and control issues. It could be selfishness issues. It could be a whole range of things, deeper problems. Greed, power, all of those things actually will influence the way we want to fix the external problem of homelessness. And some of us might say it's not even a problem, but we've probably never been homeless. Sometimes, when we try to fix a problem, we've got to change our complete thinking ourselves, don't we? Our worldview. Whose worldview should we adopt when it comes to the problem or the context of homelessness, if you don't like me calling it a problem? Just one issue, but starting to expose what we're really like on the inside. A number of years ago, a guy was writing into a newspaper in response to the newspaper asking for essays. Could you imagine our current newspapers asking for essays? No one writes essays unless the teacher's making them. There's a bloke called G.K. Chesterton. He's an old bloke who's now dead. And he replied with this answer that was sort of in line with the length of most of my essays. What's wrong with the world? The question asked, and the answer was, I am. Yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. He was a lot more profound than I ever been in an essay, but you get the idea. He's putting his finger on the pulse of what the real causes of the problem in the world are. But most of us like to think ourselves as the solutions, not the causes. You might have been a little miffed that I might raise ourselves as a cause of a problem like homelessness or war or the death of babies in a war on the other side of the world. G.K. Chesterton was bold and profound. And we might argue that it's not really my fault that what's happening over there. But I think if I'm honest with myself, maybe my selfishness is adding to the problem. So it's like this ripple effect that's going out around the world. Not just me, but you as well. My power or misuse of it, my pride, my unforgiveness, my liking the cheapest product even if it's made by people being exploited in another country. You get the idea. Maybe I am contributing in a way I hadn't thought about. Maybe G.K. Chesterton is right that the problem of the world stems from the problem in me. And you. You see, when we get to that question or that looking at that answer, we start to look at what the Bible says. We could look at many other worldviews. I don't have the time to unpack them now. But very rarely will they look at themselves, the personal, the people, as the cause of the problem. Maybe they'll look at the other people as the cause of the problem, but not themselves. What should we do if we are the cause of the problem? Some of the worldviews that are proposed, again, as I said, I'm not going to unpack them now, they won't try and fix the problem. They'll just tell us to, it's a bigger problem than you and I can fix. Let's learn to tolerate it, keep calm and carry on. As long as it doesn't become too bad for me, I think I can cope with it. And it doesn't really matter if it becomes too bad for you. I think the Bible gives us a better answer than that. I think the Bible's answer to the problems in our world, as I said, this series is looking at how the Christian worldview is a compelling answer to what is wrong with the world. I think the Bible story in this case is just as compelling. In fact, I think it's more realistic than many of the other, and it's more workable than many of the other solutions that are proposed. I think the Bible gives us a short-term solution to the problems in the world. And it gives us a long-term solution to the problems of the world. The short-term solution is this. There's a God who created. We touched a bit on that last week. And we need to actually work out how we're going to respond to this God who has created this world. The story of the Bible is that if we get God right, we're in towards a short-term solution to the problems that exist. The reason why the world is broken, the Bible says, is because we are broken. Our relationship with our Creator is broken. The God who made everyone and everything, we have broken that relationship by wanting to run things our own way and not His way. The Bible calls that sin. It's a very confronting word, isn't it? Sin is when I do the things I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. It might not, or it might, involve me doing things God's way, but at the end of the day, I'm God, so he doesn't really matter. And we're actually all of us infected by sin at some level. Whether you're a Christian or not, you struggle with the idea of obedience to God. All of us do. Remember that solution to the problems of the world? Or the analysis, sorry, is the root cause of the problems of the world? I am? Well, I am because I am broken. I am sinful. All of us are like that. It's not a new problem to humanity. Our readings, you might have wondered how they related to what we're looking at. They're just records of the way people who claim to follow God treated those around them. And look at the destruction abroad. Amos chapter 2, verse 6. They sold the innocent. They trampled on the poor. They deny justice to the oppressed. You see, when people live life their own way, they do what they want, when they want, how they want. And we read about that in 2 Peter as well. And we read that one day we're accountable to God. I'm not saying that you and I only ever do bad things. I'm not saying that all people are only ever sinful. There's great glimpses of beauty amongst us. And I don't mean what you look like in the mirror. I mean the things that we do for one another and to others in our society. We can be kind and generous and loving and forgiving. The gospel has changed us remarkably, and people who are not Christians can be kind and generous and loving and forgiving, can't they? But amongst us and amongst our world, there's lots of rotten things, and we don't seem to be able to do kind and generous and loving and forgiving all the time. And even when we do, sometimes it's mixed in the motives that we do it with. And some of the most evil people that have ever existed are still loving to those around them. And I'm not putting you or me in that category. I'm just saying that, well, everyone's broken. Some of the most respectable people in our society, the pillars of our communities, still have skeletons in the cupboard. There's a famous and possibly made-up story of a bloke called Arthur Conan Doyle. He's the bloke who wrote Sherlock Holmes. He was apparently a great practical joker. And one day he wrote to the five most respected people of England, apparently. As I said, it might have been a made-up story because the numbers of people he wrote to seemed to vary quite considerably. But he wrote them a letter anyhow. And it said something like, "Flee, all has been discovered." And supposedly, some of them left town immediately. They were well-respected members of the community. And they didn't want their stuff to be revealed. But it might not have been a true story. I wonder who would have turned up here this morning if I had access, video access, to everything you've ever thought, said, and done, and we're just about to watch it now. I wouldn't have turned up. And I don't think any one of us would have done. You see, we do good things and we post them on Facebook even. But most of us would not like our world to be revealed to everyone else because we know what we're like. The short-term problem to my sin and to your sin is given to us by God because he loves us. It's the compelling Christian analysis of the problem and answer to the problem. God, in his deep love for us, wants better for us. He has not kept us dancing to the tune of our DNA. God has enabled us to be different, and he's offered to pay the cost of my sin and your sin. He's offered to fix the problem of our relationship with God. He's reminded us that there is a better way to live, even if we don't always like it. He's given us a community to encourage each other to live in a way which God cares about. And he's indwelt us with his Spirit, but we'll get on to that later. There's the short-term answer to the Christian, or why the Christian answer to the problem of sin is so compelling. We don't have to ignore the problems in our world. We aren't trapped in the problems of our world. We can be better. We can overcome them, not with technology, not with more information, but with a complete change of how we operate in our world. God's long-term solution to the problem of sin in this world is to rescue us from it for eternity. We've talked about hope. We've reminded ourselves of hope. And God, in the face of a broken world, offers us hope that is eternal. That's part of the Christian answer to the problem of sin. I could have unpacked in one sermon for each point those last four or five things that I've said, or what the short-term and the long-term solution that God offers us. But we'll do that another time. Why didn't God just get rid of all the sin and all the problems in our world? That would seem like a compelling thing for God to do if God was real. There's a long answer to that, but here's a short answer. If God was going to get rid of the most evil person in the world, or the most evil thing in the world, because we're all infected by sin and we all have the propensity to do evil, guess what? You might not be first one he gets rid of, but one day you'll be the next one he gets rid of. God loves us. And instead of eliminating evil, which means that all of us would go, he offers rescue from evil, which is what the Christian worldview, the compelling story of Jesus, brings. Now, there's so much more we could say, but I do want to, as we draw things to a close, looking at the question, is there anything wrong with the world? I want to just give us some thought bubbles to think through. Now, if you're not a Christian and you think you know what the Christian answer to the problem of sin is, I suggest you actually read the Bible or talk with a Christian rather than just let the social medias of this world influence your understanding of Christianity. If you want to know more, ask me a question. Maybe it's a long answer, but we might have a coffee as we talk about it. If you're not a Christian, very briefly I've given you an insight into why the Christian answer to the problem of world that's in this world is a compelling answer, a reasonable one to adopt. Also, if you're not a Christian, can I encourage you to engage us via the online access or looking on the website, because this is one question of many that I think build on each other as it brings an answer to why the Christian worldview is reasonable or compelling to adopt. As one bloke said, after years of investigating the Christian worldview, he realised that the smart money is on Jesus. Now, if you're already a Christian, which, funny enough, tends to be most of us as we'd like to identify ourselves at church, but if you're already a Christian, if you already understand that Jesus has done something about your sin and my sin by paying its debt, by wiping away the guilt that we have before God, by restoring our relationship with God, if you already understand that, I hope you can see that because of what Jesus has done for you, you can live differently. You are not trapped dancing to the tune of your DNA. You're not trapped in a hopeless cycle of just saying, well, I did it again. There's nothing I can do. The Christian worldview says you can change. That change is shaped by what God's word says. This is talking to Christians, remember. That change is encouraged by meeting together as God's people. That change is enhanced as you're indwelt with God's Spirit. That change happens in the context of grace. Because as we started this service, we know that every single one of us fail regularly. Not moral based, it's not law based, it's grace based. Now, whether you're a Christian or not, I hope you see that the Christian answer to the problems in this world is not like putting band-aids on chickenpox. The way I understand chickenpox is you get a sore, but the sore that's on the outside is not the real cause of the problem. It's just the outworking of the problem in your body. The real problem has something to do with your bloods, and that needs to be fixed. The real problem that we observe in the world is not just the homelessness or the war in the environment. The real problem is underneath. It concerns us. And the Bible says it concerns our broken relationship with God, our sin. How about I pray? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word again. And we thank you for your solution to the problem of our sin. We've only touched on it today. Lord, we pray that we might have a better understanding of how the biblical answers to the world's problems is so much more compelling than just band-aids on the top of festering sores. Yet we pray, Lord God, that we as your people who claim to know you be transformed by what you've said and what you've done. May we not only be transformed in our own lives, but Lord, may we be lovingly share the good news of Jesus and the hope that he brings to a world that is also broken, just like us. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.